I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Do you need a medical claims advocate in your life? Perhaps you already have one and just don't know it, as over half of all American companies with more than 500 employees offer this benefit. Now, just before you call the HR or the benefits department, listen to Becky Stevenson, co-president of the Alliance of Claims Assistance Professionals and president CEO of VersaClaim. Becky, it's great to have you on Body Language.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Let's get back to basics. What is a medical claims advocate, and why do so many companies offer this benefit? First of all, what do you do?
Well, a medical claims advocate works directly for the consumer to resolve complex medical bill issues. Most of the times, the consumer's in some type of a medical crisis that creates a large amount of medical paperwork or bills. A lot of companies in the U.S. actually offer an advocate and choose to sort of outsource that from the human resource department. So sometimes their employee may be talking to an independent third party who is possibly a little bit more objective about the insurance benefits or the issues with the employee.
Let's discuss your typical client. Now, I imagine they're probably easy to find because they're hiding behind a large pile of medical paperwork with a glazed look in their eyes, trying to figure out, what does all this mean? Where do I start? What do I do? Well, how do you help those folks?
Well, I'll take you through that typical client, which is the person I get the calls from the most that has, you know, the giant pile of paperwork. And usually after a phone conversation with them, we'll kind of map out a strategy, and they'll tell me a little bit about what's going on with them. And most times people just choose to put that entire pile in a brown envelope, or sometimes it could be even a small box, and mail it to me. And from there, I'll start sifting through it and organizing it and deciphering it.
If the bills are overdue and there's some collection pressure, do you both contact, let's say, the hospital and explain to them what's going on and tell them that you have matters in hand?
Well, from there, those are the ones, that the bills that I'll focus on first if I see any red flags with the collections notices. Usually what I tell the client is if they get a call from collections, to keep my name and number handy, because I would prefer that the client just refer that person that's calling them.
Oh, so you're taking the burden off the individual. They must feel great relief.
I would hope so. It's most helpful if you're hiring an advocate, if you let the advocate do the work for you. And of course, I'm communicating back and forth. I'm calling them or letting them know what's happening. And if we're tackling collections issues first, and those are issues that I'm attempting to negotiate, I'm calling that client back and saying, all right, this is what's happening, this is what the bill is, let's get the check written for this first and get it out of the way so we can stop those nagging calls.
Let's discuss a typical appeals scenario. What does that look like?
Sure. The appeal or an insurance denial for a surgical procedure or some type of medical procedure is probably the second reason I get the phone call. And the denial for that procedure can come before or after the procedure has been done.
What would a typical denial be?
It's just a letter in the mail that says, we're not paying for this surgery.
Oh, now wait a minute. We're not paying for the surgery after the fact?
It could be afterwards or it could be before.
But after the fact, shouldn't the individual have known that there might be a denial, or am I being naive here? Because I'm pretty naive.
Well, not necessarily. You can have a procedure or a surgery, and you can actually get prior approval for it. But when you're on the line with insurance company and they're telling you, you're giving them the information, or the physician's giving them the information, they'll kind of give you their little mantra, this does not guarantee this claim will be paid, and there are no guarantees.
That's very distressing.
It is. It is.
And that could also be very expensive.
So what will typically happen is a lot of times the consumer will attempt to handle their appeal, the first round appeal, by themselves. They'll go to the physician, and the physician will say, I'll write some letters. We'll send in some medical records and we'll get this taken care of. Sometimes they get the denial back again, and that's when it gets really scary. And that's usually when I get the phone call. Most policies have a manner in which you go through the appeal process, and there's first, second, and third level of appeals.
You know, when you're holding an unexpected $30,000 invoice in your hands, that is probably not the time to learn how to do this. And also, I should think people who receive bills like that, and this is probably today's understatement, Becky, are very stressed, they're very unhappy, and they're very frightened, and they may still be sick. Not a good logical place to start from.
No, not at all. And they may still be sick, or a lot of times, if it's a working professional, they've recovered, they're back at work, they're back to the grind of work, they're tired, they're worn out, and now they have this whole issue they're trying to deal with and handle a job as well.
Or they're suddenly thrust into the role of a caregiver. They're taking care of a child, a relative, a partner, a spouse, and they may have taken time off from work to do that, so their income is significantly reduced, if not non-existent. How have you performed? How have you done on appeals? Why don't you give us some scenarios where you've done well and, well, you know, let's be honest, some things that didn't work out.
Well, and it's true. It doesn't always work out, and I have to listen to what my client is telling me, and I'll kind of give them my two bits on whether, you know, it's a 50-50 chance or a 20-80 or, you know, my thoughts on how this is going to go. But I can tell you one that has been successful that was recently, and this is actually a client with, she had a lot of sinus problems, and she was trying to get a surgery, and this was trying to get the surgery approved before.
And the surgery is for what?
A deviated septum.
Mm-hmm.
So she had her physician call, and they said they would not approve the surgery. And so they contacted me. And I went to their policy, and the insurance policy clearly stated it was not going to cover a surgery for a deviated septum unless in the condition of an injury or what they call a purulent sinusitis, which is just a massive sinus infection. And I knew this woman was suffering. So I asked her to gather some medical records, and I wanted to look through those records because I'm looking for that diagnosis.
You're looking for a pre-existing condition, aren't you?
The deviated septum is a pre-existing condition. She was probably born with it because that's the way deviated septums are. But I was looking for the loophole to get the surgery approved. And I knew she had a massive sinus infection, and she had problems for years.
It sounds like this worked out, didn't it?
It did. It did.
And what was the dollar amount involved? Do you remember?
You know, I don't think I ever saw the final bill on it because it was all paid, which is a good thing.
Well, that's fine. You know, that's a zero balance is a victory in any language. Our guest is Becky Stevenson, who is the president and CEO of VersaClaim. What's the best part about your work? What gives you the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment where you go, yes, I really made a difference. I really made a contribution to these folks.
You know, I just feel like that these people that I talk to daily are so stressed out. And they're in such a horrible predicament many times. And if I can take this off their plate and handle it successfully, it's just so fulfilling. And there's some clients that I've had for years. There's some clients who got past their illness or injury or whatever it is, and you know, I still keep in touch with them or Facebook them or whatever, and that's just really great to see.
Becky Stevenson, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language once again.